I'll just kind of put this here. I just need this from time to time. I kind of walk around, so I hope I don't fall off the stage. But my name's Jeremy Malik, and I actually live and reside in San Diego in California. And I'm married for 21 years to my beautiful wife, Melody, and we have three children, all teenagers. So it's good to be away. It's good to be away. But anyway, is this good? Everybody hears me good? Perfect, because, all right. So, give you a little bit of insight where we live is we live in this small community, 20,000 people. You say Southern California small community, 20,000 people. We live in a little town called Fallbrook. And Fallbrook is the avocado capital of the world. And so on our property, we have a grove, and we have an avocado grove. And so we are putting avocados in our smoothies every morning, and we're making a lot of guacamole and that sort of thing. And something interesting about avocados and how great God is when He designed things, but these avocado trees, believe it or not, hold up to about 1,000 avocados per tree that we get from those trees harvested. Now, if you think about avocados, if you've ever held one, they're almost a pound a piece. And so you think about 1,000 pounds of avocados hanging on a tree, and God, the way He just puts them on there in a certain pattern that the tree then can support all these avocados, I just find it fascinating. So that's what we do back home and that sort of thing, and have a lot of fun with that. Let me give you a little history on myself. Growing up, my father was what I call a serial church planter. That's not a serial killer. That's a serial church planter. And so what that means is we would start a brand new church. He would pastor it and get it started for 2 years. And then he would hire the next guy in, and we would move to a different state, and we would start a new church, and we would do it over and over and over, and it got really exhausting growing up, and that kind of, we're moving again. Good, because I just made two friends, Dad. Thanks very much. So we lived in a lot of different places, but we spent some of my youth growing up in the Midwest in Indiana, near the Fort Wayne area, and that sort of thing, and then also Tampa, Florida, we planted a church. California, out west, and just all different kinds of places. Well, I went to high school in Southern California and ended up going to college in the Midwest, went to Taylor University, which was Fort Wayne Bible College, where Gary went. Let's hear it, Gary! Woo! We went to the same college. Woo! So I played soccer for them. Gary played soccer for them as well, and I did well my freshman year in soccer and got a full-ride scholarship to go to Bethel College, which was in South Bend, Indiana. I'm sorry, they were in the same conference. I can't believe they let me play the next year. But anyway, so I went to Bethel College and met my wife there, and I never thought I would go into ministry, especially the experience growing up. Not that it was bad, but we moved all the time and that sort of thing. And I told my wife after graduating college, I went to school for business. I said, I want to try banking out. And she said, go ahead, try banking out. So I decided to become a teller and try it for 3 months and just see if I liked it. So I was a teller, a night teller, in a little town in Grable, Indiana. And this particular town, has anybody ever heard of Grable, Indiana? You have, of course, Gary. Well, it's a small Amish town. And so I was the night teller. So you know what happens in Grable, Indiana at about 7 o'clock? Well, the sidewalks roll up. So there's not a lot to do. So what did I do during that time is I learned how to juggle whiteout. I learned how to juggle up to 5 staplers. And then at the end of the night, one of my responsibilities was actually going through the drive-thru and doing this. And so I had to shovel after the horses that came through all day through the drive-thru each and every night. So of course, after the 3-month period was over, I came home and told my wife, guess what? I love banking. It's awesome. I can juggle. I shovel, it's wonderful. And so I decided to have a banking career. And I ended up becoming a commercial lender at a young age of 25, and then went on to a mortgage career and ended up running my own mortgage company for 11 years. So God just during that season of my life put a tremendous call in my life to go into ministry. And so in 2007, we accepted a role as the executive pastor for a church plant that was 2 years old in Southern California. And so we packed up the fam and we moved out and did that. It was just an exciting time of ministry for me. I put into place a lot of the things we're going to talk about tonight in the assimilation world. And I built a lot of the teams, like I built some of my teams within mortgage. I built a lot of teams without bottlenecks, meaning that as your church grows, the teams just grow and you don't have to reorganize everything and reshift everything. And so God just put his blessing on that church in that particular season of life. And the church tripled in size in 18 months. And then 6 months after that, it doubled again. And so it was just a significant impact. And since then, we've had some tough times and some good times in ministry, and I don't have time to tell our whole story. But God's really brought me to the realization, Jeremy, you can help one church, but I'd rather you help many. And so we have really accepted that call as of about 2 years ago. And I have been working with different churches in four major areas, and one that we're going to be talking about tonight, assimilation, but also capital campaign fundraising, build-out design work, laying out a building through the eyes of a guest, and not just who's in the building, but who's outside of the building, yet to come. That's one of the areas I work in. And then another area is a stewardship seminar that I designed, and I train different churches and people in churches to teach the course. So those are kind of some of the different areas. Now, what I want to share with you tonight is really, really important, but it's more important to understand the heart behind what I'm going to share with you, because we're going to get into a lot of different strategies and different things and concepts and whatever, but what I want you to understand first is the reason we're talking about this subject is because Jesus loves lost people, and lost people matter to God. And I know lost people matter to you, and reaching the lost for Christ is very important. One thing I wrote down here that I wanted to share is we have the only lasting solution for every single person on earth, and that's Jesus Christ. That's something that we have that's unique, that we need to share with lost people. So I want to take a few moments just to talk about that before we really get into the material so that you understand the heart behind. It's not the mechanics of what we're going to do. It's about loving people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And people out there in society today are so hungry or thirsty or whatever terminology you want to use for truth. They're starving for it. I have several examples I'm going to share with you tonight of people just with the simple mention how they react and want to talk and discuss in those areas. Let me quickly grab my water. I left it. So I want to set up some terminology for you to begin with. And it's the whole idea of somebody comes in for the first time. You've heard me use a couple times the word guest. Well, the whole idea of are they a visitor or are they a guest? I say they're a guest, and here's why. Visitors, let's think about our own personal lives. If you have a visitor come to your house, after they've been there about 3 days, you're looking at your spouse or whoever's in your household, and you're saying, when are they going to leave? I mean, they have been here for far too long. If you have a guest, you prepare for them. You leave a mint on their pillow. You actually maybe go to the store and plan some meals to actually feed them. And so I want to consider people who, when they come through the door for the first time, as guests. If you go to any of the public corporation industries, theme parks, those sorts of things, they're always referring to people as guests. And so it's just a better terminology as far as that goes. Now, people decide, believe it or not, people make the decision on whether they're open to coming back to your church in the first 7 minutes that they're on this campus, okay? From the time they get out of their car, the clock's ticking for 7 minutes. Now, the reason that first 7 minutes is so critical is because the anxiety level that they have going into a situation where they don't know where anything is, they don't really know very many people, if any people at all, when they come through the door, is extreme for most people. Not very many people are so outgoing that nothing phases them. So that first 7 minutes is so, so critical. And What I want to point out tonight is we're going to talk about what do we need to do as a church in that first 7 minutes? What does that first 7 minutes look like? Now, I love to challenge you guys in something here. And I'd love for each of you to take the opportunity at some point in time to come stand in your church lobby. And I want you to stand there for 7 minutes and not talk to anybody and see what that feels like. Because that's what happens with a lot of people. I know you're a friendly church, okay? I understand that. And you guys do so many things so well. I've spent a lot of time with Gary and Don, and we've talked through everything, and you guys really do a great job. So what we're really looking to do is maybe just add a component here or there kind of thing. But in essence, a lot of churches that I deal with, it's interesting that most churches think, oh, we're the most friendly church. Well, the problem is you're only friendly to each other. And the thing that happens is people tend to congregate together. You tend to match up with the same people that you see week after week after week, and it becomes kind of a tough thing for a guest to navigate through. And so we really want to take a look at what that first 7 minutes looks like. And so what will transpire in that first 7 minutes is this, is when a guest comes in, they'll obviously be greeted. You already do a wonderful job of that. But we're going to have them come up to a welcome table, and Don and I are working on the arrangement for that in the lobby. But what's going to take place is it's very important to come up with a way to differentiate the guest when they come, but to do it in such a way that they don't stand out and feel awkward about it, okay? And so one of those ways that we've talked about doing is the whole idea of name tags, and what does that look like? And so the concept is, if you were a regular attender at the church, when you come in, you would come to one of the welcome tables, and it sounds like we're going to design, maybe have two different locations for that, but you'd come to one of the welcome tables, and you would get a name tag like this that has Plymouth Alliance Church printed in black and white. And you would put your name on here, Tim, Bob, Jim, whatever, and take your name tag. Now, this has a purpose. And the purpose for this really is not for the people necessarily within the church. Now, there's a residual benefit for that, and I can share that with you. What that is in almost every church I've ever worked with, there are people that have gone to the church maybe for a year, maybe for 3 months, maybe for 2 years, and they always pass the same people in the hallway, and they're always like, hey, dude, how you doing, dude? I'm doing great, dude. Dude, you're looking great today. Nice shirt, dude. And they get to the point where they've crossed them so many times that they're embarrassed to ask their name. And so that's the benefit on the inside. Now, for the guests, then when they come up to the welcome table, they're going to get a different name tag. Their name tag is going to have Plymouth Alliance Church, but it's going to be in color, printed in color. Now, it's not so obvious that they would ever pick up on it, but us as a church body, we would know when we see a color name tag, that's a guest. And we need to pay attention to that guest. And so, anyway, so that's the reason and the purpose for that. So that happens in the first 7 minutes. Now, after that guest gets that, they are going to be introduced to what I call a guest spotter. And this would be a new role for this church. And the guest spotter is the most critical role, I feel, in that first 7 minutes. So if this is something the Lord lays on your heart, you'll get an opportunity to respond later tonight. But that guest spotter, what's going to happen is they're going to take that guest, and they're going to show them around to remove anxiety of where all the key places are. I've been in your building today. I got a wonderful tour. And one of the things that is not obvious in your building is where the restrooms are. So one of the places they'll be taking them is they're going to show them where the restrooms are. They're going to take them, if they have children, they're going to take them to the children's check-in area. And a lot of first-time guests don't necessarily want to check their children in the first week. A lot of times they'll sit with them, which is totally fine. But we want to show them how to check in their children. So if they do come back a second time, they won't have anxiety over that, and they'll understand how the process works. So they'll take them over to there. And then just because of the way your building's designed, as you can see, they'll be zigzagging a little bit. And then they're going to take them to your coffee shop, get them a cup of coffee, and then eventually basically lead them into the auditorium. But what we've done is we've occupied the first 7 minutes in casual conversation, connecting with them. Now, there's certain language we want to use. When a guest comes to the welcome table, the biggest no-no is you don't want to say, hey, is it your first week here? Okay? That statement is one of those statements that is a little off-putting to a guest, and here's why. What if they've been coming for 2 months, and they're getting sick of hearing that? Kind of, you know, like, oh my gosh, are they ever going to think I'm here? kind of mentality. But better yet is phrasing like this: hello, my name is Jeremy. I don't believe we've met before. And allow them to tell you. They'll open up and tell you. And so there's a consistency that me and Don have been talking about in the ways to schedule the team. So there's a consistency of being aware of who's been here before and who hasn't and that sort of thing. So those are some of the things that we're working on behind the scenes. So now we get to the point where they meet an usher at the door, you know, when they walk in, and they get a bulletin or program, and they're seated. And by the time they're seated then from that process, the band's ready to go, service has begun, or it's about to begin, and we have occupied that first 7 minutes. We've taken the anxiety out of that situation. So now they are open to considering this church to be their home church because of all the connection that they had, and now they're going to listen and worship the Lord with not having all this anxiety, listen to the sermon, all those sorts of things. But during the service, it's so important, and I know you guys already do this, but I'll just share it with you. It's so important to acknowledge the guests from up front. Just a quick welcome, doesn't have to last long, can be just 20 seconds. Hey, if you're new with us, I'd like to welcome you, and I'd like to invite you to fill out a connection card in the seat back pocket in front of you and drop it in the offering as it passes by today, and we'd love just to connect with you and give you some more information, kind of thing. And that's just so important to acknowledge them during service. So what we have before service, they've been greeted at the door when they come in. They've had somebody connect with them at the welcome table. They've had a guest spotter lead them around. They've had a short contact with an usher when they've gotten a program and a quick welcome there. They've been welcomed from up front, and now we get to one of the most critical times. The last 5 minutes after service ends is so very critical for that guest. And what we don't want to ever have happen is have a guest get up after service, kind of walk around, everybody's talking to each other, kind of stumble out to the lobby. All right, honey, I guess let's go, you know, and drive off, and nobody's acknowledged them. That happens a lot, and here's why it happens a lot. The pastors can't be relied on for that because after a service, as you know, it's very difficult for them to make it back there. Also, there's a lot of conversations that they get into with people after a sermon and different things like that that require their time and attention. So as a church as a whole, we need to take that on. That is not an assigned responsibility to somebody. And that's why, again, going back to the name tags, this is so important. So if somebody has this colored name tag, it's very important. Now, we don't bombard them. It's not a wedding reception line that they work through, all right? But what we do is we just keep it simple and sincere. Everything needs to be simple. Just thank them for coming. And it only has to be one of you. We don't have to bombard them. But if we're all working together to look for this, we should never have somebody just kind of stumble out there and stand around for a while and then just leave without being acknowledged. I know you guys are good at a lot of this, but I just kind of want to point out some extreme cases of this. So that's what happens on a Sunday morning. So by the time they work through a Sunday morning experience, they're going to have about 6 different contacts. Now, I want to take it to the next level. The next level for me is intentional relationships. And let me talk to you about this for a little bit, but it's so important, and a lot of times we don't think this way. It's just not in our nature, but I want to challenge everybody in this room with something. Before you come to church on Sunday morning, why don't you just take a few minutes and pray that if the Lord has a divine moment for you, that He would just give you some way that you would recognize that this is triggered from the Lord, and you would have just the obedience when you feel that trigger to follow through. So let me give you an example of what I mean. First church I worked in, one of my favorite things to do was work the welcome table. You couldn't get me and my wife off that welcome table. We loved it. And so we would be there every Sunday morning, but before Sunday morning, we would always pray, Lord, if there's some guest that we haven't met before, that you have a divine moment for us and we match up well with, please make that known to me so I know how to respond. And so I prayed that this particular Sunday morning, and we were working the welcome table, and I saw a middle-aged man, we'll say. He was newly retired. I could tell in the community we lived in. He was in his late 50s. He got out of his car, and him and his wife came up to the to the welcome table, and I just said, hello, my name's Jeremy. I don't believe we met before. And he said, hey, Jeremy, I'm Pete. This is my wife, Mara. This is our first Sunday here. And I just felt the nug from the Holy Spirit right then. And I just stopped and I said, Pete, what do you like to do? Pete says, I love to golf. I said, Pete, we're golfing tomorrow. And Pete's like, all right, I love to golf. Perfect. So service rolled around. It was my week to speak. I get up, speak. After service, he comes up to me and he says, I didn't know you were a pastor here. I said, does that matter? Are we still allowed to golf? And he said, oh, we're allowed to golf. So we went golfing on that Monday. Pete is still a dear friend today. This happened in 2008. Pete ended up becoming an elder at our church. Pete ended up becoming the treasurer of the South Pacific District of the CMA. All of this was by design in this sense, that we were open as a church body to what the Lord would have us do that day, and it wasn't all about us inside. It was about people outside these walls. That focus is so critical in our lives. So think about that. If you did that in your everyday life, now a lot of people are like, oh my goodness, if I prayed that way and the Lord brought me a new person every time I went to church, I don't know if I could handle 52 new friends a year. Well, I've got good news for you. If you're like anybody else in the national average in America, you would only have 24 new friends because you only come two Sundays a month. So, but honestly, it doesn't happen every week. This would take place maybe twice a year that God would prompt you in this way. But if you look at a room this size, if that happened twice a year to each one of you and you honestly connected with somebody, imagine what God could do through this body of believers. And so I really want you to challenge you with that and ask you, even you don't have to wait for this to kick off. This is something you can start Sunday. You don't know who the Lord, and when you go to work, when you everywhere you go, every day, if you prayed that, you'll be surprised what the Lord puts in your path. The interesting thing is, when he does that, he's also preparing their hearts as well. And I've seen that happen every time. It's always on fertile soil that those conversations take place. So now, let me fast forward. After Sunday morning, the follow-up ministry works like this. And you guys do an excellent job as a staff on the follow-up ministry right now, currently. We're just going to talk about one addition that we're going to add in. But what happens is when somebody fills out their connection card, they're going to get an email from the church. Don takes care of that, or people within the church take care of that. And then Gary does a handwritten card. Right, Gary? Yeah, woo, Gary! So he does a handwritten card. And then you guys deliver baked goods. But what we're going to add to that in that connection time is we're going to add what I call a guest leave behind card. And what that is it's something maybe just business card size, but it's very important. It has the church name on it, but it has the service time on there. And we want to create a card that has the church or has that particular person want to carry that around for more than a week so they don't just throw it in the trash. Now, a lot of times people may be church shopping, perhaps. So maybe they're planning on going somewhere next week kind of thing, which is totally fine. And so on this card, what we'd have is we'd maybe have a couple of different types of discounts for them through food places or oil change places or that sort of thing. So they take this item and they put it in their wallet or their purse and they carry it around with them for the next 4 or 5 weeks. And what happens is they may go try the other church out, but they're constantly reminded, man, that church was so, so friendly at Plymouth. And they go out to eat on a Saturday night and they use their card for a discount and they look at it and it's got the service times for tomorrow printed on there. And they're like, honey, we really need to go back to that church. And this particular tool has worked so well in guest retention that's a piece that we're going to add to the follow-up ministry. So that kind of takes you through the gamut of what happens between when they show up on campus all the way through that following week. And if you count the number of contacts, they will have had 9 contacts or touches between the time they've walked on campus to the time they may come back for a second week. Now, if somebody comes back for a second week, the chance of them making this their church home goes up 85%. So it's really key what happens in that first week to connect with people. Now, you take the intentional relationship piece and add this in here, and if God moves you to connect with a particular person, what happens is their opportunity to connect into the church body ramps up. A lot of people come to a church, and it can take them up to 6 months to really feel connected. Part of the reason is they don't come to church that often or that consistent, so maybe it's twice a month that they're coming, and then it's hard for them to make that leap to jump into a small group or what have you. And so through relationship, through loving people through relationship, you accelerate that time frame for them. A lot of times you speed it up to a month or two that they're fully connected into a church body. So it's just something to think about as the process of this whole intentional relationship piece goes. Now, in the back of your manuals, before we kind of shift into a new phase of what we're talking about here, we're going to do, basically, let me share with you what I'm going to have you do. Dawn passed out to you guys a little card. It's a response card. And I want to challenge you tonight that if one of these areas, whether it be a guest spotter or welcome greeter type person at the welcome table, or if somebody who wants to be part of the follow-up team. I know a lot of you already serve on some of these teams, but there may be others who would want to get involved in some of these different areas. Please take an opportunity to fill that out, and then afterwards, just up here maybe, or you can just place it up here on maybe this first step, and Dawn will collect those. But I want to challenge you to really consider that and step up into that. Now, here's how this will work. We're doing the training tonight, and then we're going to do a soft launch of this ministry, and we're going to do that on December 4th, on Sunday, December 4th. So that means maybe not every component's working fully well, but it gives us a chance to kind of do some trial and error. It gives Dawn some opportunity to work with a couple maybe different areas to do name tags and different things like that. And then by December 18th, we're going to kind of do an all systems go launch and have it running for the Christmas season and that sort of thing to launch it in that time frame. So what I want to do, and I know I've kind of thrown a lot at you probably quickly, but what I want to do is I kind of want to just kind of pause now, and I kind of want to open it up to you guys. And if they're recording this for some others to hear, but if any of you have any questions, I'd love to field a few of those, and then I'll repeat the question so they hear it on the tape, and then we can answer it. And if Gary or Dawn want to jump in with any of the answers as well, if it pertains to them, they're welcome to do so. So does anybody have any questions? Or Gary? Okay.
So they just don't do either of those.
Okay. So
help us fill that gap in.
Okay. So that particular gap is going. Oh. Oh. Okay. The question is, what do we do for folks, or how do we fill the gap for folks that don't fill out a connection card? Here's what we do, and I didn't really touch on this well enough, but at the welcome table, we are going to have connection cards there as well. And we're going to invite people to fill those out there. We're also going to have them in here. And part of our training post this meeting is going to be when they check their children in at the children's check-in, we're going to have some of that same information compiled there so that the two systems just need to talk to one another. So there's going to be multiple ways we try to capture that information, first of all. Now, you're never going to capture all of them. It's just the facts. And so we just do our best to get as many as we can. Now, the process would be then if they don't fill one out, it's okay. We just wouldn't be able to put in place the follow-up mechanism, but they still get the personal touches on a Sunday morning. So.
My question was, how do we get them to the welcome table once they walk in the door?
Okay, the question is, how do we get them to the welcome table? That works pretty easily in the sense that your lobby's not very large. So we're looking at 4 or 5 feet to get there. And so we would have a greeter type person near the door and basically be able to kind of be directing people, maybe at least for the first few weeks, in a sense of just encouraging people to put the name tags on. But Don's going to set up two different table areas right outside this door on basically either side. So again, we will capture a majority of them, and we will also have the guest spotters going around. And part of the training with the guest spotters will just be getting used to who's new and who's not, that kind of thing. And so no system's perfect, but we try to at least close as many gaps as we can. So hope that helps. Perfect. Thank you for asking that. So the question is if they are a guest 1 week, how quickly do we move them to a regular attender name tag? That's really a case-by-case situation for a church to decide. My personal recommendation is I move them to the black and white name tag as soon as possible. And the reason I'm saying that is it's very difficult to identify somebody, whether they're here the second week, third week, fourth week, especially when people necessarily don't come every week. So if we do end up identifying it, we have a certain way we schedule it where somebody who worked the week before will always work the next week. And so there'll be a team of four people that will be able to communicate. And as they're communicating, they'll be like, hey, let me introduce you to John. I met him last week, and that kind of thing. And so we'll move them to that black and white. Now, are we going to be perfect with that? No. And the other thing on name tags, if somebody doesn't really want to wear a name tag, we're not going to chase you down and slap one on your back, okay? So just relax. But yeah, so that's the situation with that. Yes, sir. Sure. What do we do with visitors that are out of state? They don't go in the same system queue. We're not gonna do the follow-up measures. They may still send them an email out. I'm sure they'll do that and that sort of thing. But you know, they're going to be considered a separate piece. So.
How do you keep the name tag system alive? And I ask that because we've done the name tag before. After so many months, it starts to fade away, and people don't want to do it anymore. How do you keep that alive?
Well. How do you keep the name tag system alive is the question after a period of time. My answer to that really is it comes down to, and maybe it wasn't always clear in the past, but why are we doing the name tags? So if the reason we're doing the name tags are for unchurched people, de-churched people, which by the way is the highest segment of society as far as people who consider themselves a Christian, people that grew up in the church, that have walked away at the age, college age, or somewhere in their mid-20s and haven't been back for 15, 20 years. And a lot of those people are starting to come back. So if our mentality is we're wearing the name tag so that our guests, when they come, don't feel awkward and don't feel like they're standing out by being the only ones to wear name tags, then that'll keep us in the frame of mind of why we're doing it. Because a lot of times we get lost in it and say, okay, everybody knows my name now. I'm kind of done with this. I think it's just kind of a mentality piece of why we're doing it, you know? Yep. The question is, we do a great job with the gift bag. Cindy rocks it. That was in the question. And she's, oh, it's all right. It's a wonderful thing. We are going to keep doing that. Nothing changes with that. That continues on. And Don, we've talked about that. I love that. It's wonderful. So, yep. And just for the video or just for the audio recording, I think a $20 bill just passed between the two. Wow, guys, that's great. That's great. Well, I'll be available, and I want you guys to consider filling out these cards. And I didn't know if you had anything you wanted to add, but I would love just to pray for you guys. pray over the church, kind of in closing. Just really, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be with you tonight, and just really, really excited about this particular church. Working with Gary and Dawn, it's just been a real pleasure, and I just see the love they have for you guys, and I see the love you guys have in here, and I just know that God's got really great things in the future for Plymouth Alliance, and so it's just been an honor to be here, and I wanted to share that. So, if you guys would bow your heads with me, and we'll